Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. The rites of spring. I just saw a bear in the woods.
Hibernation season's over. The animals are coming back.
I shouldn't have thrown that chicken out. So I'm just kidding.
They do tend to go after trash cans full of food.
Oh, yeah, and people who leave food out in the woods, which we have a lot of people out here that do that. Not good.
But no.
They're cool to see, though. I always like bears.
They're cool to see, but it really depends on where you're seeing them. I remember a number of years back, we had one walking down Main Street. That was a little disconcerting.
The bear parade.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about companies that do well by doing good and how social responsibility and corporate social responsibility is evolving to not only be expected from the community, but rewarded in terms of profits, stock price. There's a lot of benefits to doing good.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, it's not only for the business, but it's for the people who are doing it. Because the bottom line is, which we're going to be discussing, is the general public gravitates to companies that have that perceived image as doing good for the community and that kind of thing. People like to get behind good causes, just don't hear about them enough.
Absolutely. But it's more than simply a good cause. Companies need to remember that they actually serve several audiences. They always take a look at customers. They always take a look at stockholders. The two audiences that they also have to serve, though, that tend to get overlooked are their employees and their community. If you have a business in a specific location, you're part of that community, and giving back to that community helps boost your business because your customers live in that community. And when your customers see, oh, well, you know, they're doing good things around here. Sustainability projects, economic development programs. It doesn't have to be simply giving to charity. There are all sorts of programs that can be done. And most of them don't just benefit society, but they benefit your company as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The image of doing that is so important. And it's funny, when you came up with the title today, The Business Benefits of Doing Good, I went online and Googled it and came up with a TED Talk by Wendy Woods, which is basically the same title that we were talking about. And it's a 15-minute TED Talk, which it talked about obviously the corporate social responsibility, but it's merging it with the TSI, which is total societal impact, which goes beyond that. So this is social ramifications, environmental ramifications, which is exactly what you're talking about. It's taking the resources that we're using and using them properly, not making a lot of waste and so on and so forth, not damaging the environment and that kind of thing. And again, as you're saying, at work, it's working with the employees to make them happier, more productive. There's a lot of different examples, which I'll probably talk about in a little bit, of companies that are doing exactly that. But the bottom line is, she actually put the statistics up there with industry standards as far as profitability goes. And those companies that are working this total societal impact are making a lot better profit percentage than the companies that aren't.
Right. In certain cases, I mean, take a look at companies that have gone green. While there's an initial investment, over time, throwing things out costs money. Whether it's, you know, wasting paper, toxic sludge coming out of manufacturing, the creation of the garbage actually costs money. So when you retool your factory, when you change the way you do things in your office to create less waste, you're not spending that money creating garbage. Certainly in offices, if you're recycling paper, if you're using, you know, one of the things we've always done is put paper that we've printed on back in the printer to use the other side.
Yep.
Just that drops our costs by quite a lot because we're buying half as much paper.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there are a lot of big companies out there right now. If you go to the goodnewsnetwork.org, which I should go to that a lot more often because I can't remember the last time I was there, but there were just headlines about a lot of businesses that people out there have heard of that are actually doing things to generate less waste and take care of their products. Everybody loves Lego. I wish we had Lego like they have now when we were kids, but there's going to be a Lego plant that's going to be doing plant-based Lego bricks to go on sale. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be selling bricks made from plant-based plastic as opposed to the natural polyethylene plastic, which is, garbaged out. So they're not completely biodegradable, but they're a whole lot more recyclable than crude oil type things. McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts are both going away from styrofoam containers, and they're going to be going into the 100% recycled materials over the next couple of years, which is fantastic. So a lot of these big companies that you're hearing of are actually going in that direction. One of the ones that I saw, there's actually a company down in Argentina, and Argentina's got a big problem, you know, with poverty and also waste and that kind of thing. And a company started making shoes out of rubber tires that are normally disposed of. And what they did is they're using unemployed people, particularly single mothers from Mendoza, which is a suburb of Buenos Aires down there, to help to make those things. So they're employing people, they're taking stuff that normally would be disposed of, and they're making shoes out of it. And the bottom line is if you're starting a business or using a business, there's ways, if you put your thinking cap on, to do things differently that do make a big difference.
Absolutely. I know there are a few companies that actually take tires, recycle them, and turn them into playground equipment. So the playgrounds go into schools, they go into neighborhoods. So they're using recycled materials, they're getting rid of the trash, and they're helping the neighborhoods that they're working in by creating these playgrounds. It's absolutely amazing what you can do for your community when you think about it. So many people, when they hear corporate social responsibility, it was a buzzword for so long, and what they think of is fundraisers, they think of volunteers, which are great, but there's so much more companies can do. Yeah. Over the last 2 months or so, 3 months maybe by now, you started hearing of companies raising their minimum wage in response to the tax cut that's coming. And this is huge, because spreading that wealth around helps economic growth. And when somebody gets paid more, when you spend money locally, that money benefits that area.
Yeah. So, obviously, if you have more money to spend and you're out there spending it, it is much, much better for the economy. I mean, too often our government and other people out there, all they're looking at is saving, not realizing that investing is a very, very huge part of raising the top line, which means more resources for everybody. And that's something that a lot of people don't get out there, but it is very important, and that's a great move.
All right. And talking about investing, you've got companies who are investing in their employees. Both McDonald's and Starbucks have programs where their frontline employees, the folks at the cash register, the folks cleaning up, the companies will help them pay for college. not simply through their salary, but they have programs where they are giving their employees scholarships to go to college and learn and improve themselves. Both of those companies also have programs for single mothers, so that, you know, maybe a standard shift doesn't work so well when it's hard to get a babysitter, if somebody's in school. They've made different shifts so that it's easier for their employees to actually spend time with their families. And all of these things actually boost their bottom line, because when you have employees that like working there, they're more productive. If they're happy, they give better customer service. And more companies are starting to do things like this. Walmart just started not too long ago offering their employees benefits like this.
Yeah, and looking at different ways of doing things. I mean, this is worldwide. I just talked about an Argentina company. There is a company down in Brazil called WeWork Company. And they had their janitorial staff, and they asked them for reports on how they were spending time in each room. And by asking for the reports, they found out that most of their staff was illiterate. And rather than replace them with other employees, what they decided to do was help them out. They actually had a school in their workplace, and they got organized, and they had classes to teach them literacy. Which obviously raised the bar there, and they actually had a big celebration there, a graduation party with the full outfit that they taught. So that's part of doing what they're doing. And as we all know, the bottom line is it's a whole lot more expensive to replace employees than it is to keep happy employees on board. And so just an outside-the-box thing like that, just like you're talking about at McDonald's and other places, there's a lot of different things you can do with what you have to make things better just by doing things differently. It takes a little bit of thought, but it works.
Absolutely. And there are companies that are actually coming up with products. And I was actually looking into the development process of one product. I'm actually blanking on the brand, but it's a sandal. And the company wanted to make the sandals biodegradable. This way they wouldn't take up space in landfills. Well, what they found was biodegradable wasn't enough, because the sandals were still, once they were worn out, going into landfills, and then they were degrading there. Well, the company decided they wanted to encourage people not to put these in landfills. So what they did was they put seeds in the soles of the sandals, so that when the sandal is worn out, instead of throwing away, you can actually plant the sandal.
Wow. What kind of seeds?
I'm not sure what kind of seeds they used.
That is fascinating.
But I thought it was a really interesting turn. Because they realized, you know, they were trying to cut down on what was going into landfills, and they found, okay, well, we took one step. That's not enough. We've actually got to encourage people. And that's something that's very important. There are a lot of companies that want to do well, and they want to do good things, but they occasionally put the cause that they're interested in front of the business. For years, I had covered Toy Fair for various magazines and newspapers. And Toy Fair is where all of the companies come out every year and show that year's line of new toys. And every year, there were a group of toy companies that would come out, and they would go, yes, our toys are environmentally friendly. Our toys teach kids about the environment. And none of these companies ever came back a second year. because they forgot that it's not enough to make a toy environmentally friendly. The toy has to be fun to play with. Otherwise, nobody's going to buy it in the first place. So when you're considering how you can do well or how you can do good, you really have to take your customer in mind. Keep them in mind what they're going to do and how hard is it for them to do it. A lot of early recycling programs failed because it was just too difficult for the consumer to return the product to a recycling center. If you know, if you want your customer to recycle their mobile phones, you've got to make it easy for them to do so. Now, there's stores all over the place that just have bins by the door that people can drop their old mobile phones in to recycle. That made it easy, so people started doing it more. By the same token, when we talk about recycling, recycling really picked up when most communities switched to single source recycling, which is you put everything in one bin and just put it out.
Yeah.
I'm sure, Chip, you remember in the early days of recycling, you had to have paper in one bag and plastic in another and glass in a third.
Yep, we had to sort everything out.
Right.
Now it is so much easier.
And recycling did not take off because of that, because it put too much burden on the consumer. So as a business, we have the opportunity to affect consumer behavior in a positive way, but we have to make it simple for them. If you're going to put barriers in, it has to be done a certain way at a certain time in a certain place, they're not going to do it. And the same goes for your employees. If you have policies on recycling, on equipment usage, if you make it difficult to follow, they're not going to do it. So you really have to think about how you're moving forward with these initiatives. And now, especially with energy conservation, there are a lot of things that can be automated. You know, at a certain time, lights automatically dim, lights automatically go out in your office. You can do things like that to make sure people aren't leaving things on all night.
Yeah, and they're manufacturing a lot more efficient energy bulbs and things like that too.
And you have to take a look at what you're using and where that power is coming from and going. You can, I know here in Connecticut, they deregulated the electricity markets. You can now buy electricity specifically from suppliers that only use green energy, windmills, geothermal, solar. You can also, because there are cost trade-offs, you can get from suppliers that say 50% is from sustainable sources and the other 50% is natural gas, you know, cheaper sources like that to offset it. And you'd be amazed at how many little things, if you just make small changes, can do a lot of good. For example, in your home, your television uses power, whether it's on or not. Most people don't know that. In fact, anything that has a remote control uses power when it's off, because that's how it senses the remote. So if you're going to sleep, instead of turning off the TV from the television set, you turn it off from a power strip, then it's not getting any electricity. You've just said, with that one little change, You've saved yourself money. You're using less electricity, which is better for the planet. And it's a tiny little change. We found about a year, maybe 2 years ago, we actually in our home made a change to get rid of our cable provider, our television provider, and go over the internet with streaming services. We got rid of 4 cable boxes. We were amazed to see how much our electric bill went down with those 4 cable boxes unplugged and gone. You don't really think about how much you're using and what you're doing on a day-to-day basis that can be changed with simple changes. And that's really the key. Everything we've talked about, from food companies getting rid of the styrofoam to changes in the way employees are paid, they're all very small changes. But they all have very big results.
Yeah, and especially when you're working with the employees and they're benefiting from that too, and also using resources differently. One of the examples that Wendy Woods used in her TED Talk was Mars Candy. And everybody's thinking about candy and chocolate and stuff like that right now. But they're striving to use 100% certified cocoa in their candy bars. They're partnering with non-government organizations to improve crop yields where they're growing the cocoa and that kind of stuff too. And just an awareness of doing that is doing wonders of good. Everybody, I think, has heard about the Airbnb company. And one of the things that they're doing is when there's disasters, they're actually providing disaster housing and also housing for refugees out there. And it's a great way, obviously, to get their name out as far as what they're doing and that kind of thing. But it's just a wonderful thing that they're doing for humanity. And then a really nice outside-the-box thing that's going on down in South Africa. Banks down in South Africa are required to make charitable donations. There's a requirement there to help Black entrepreneurs. And so most banks, I'm sure, are just making donations. There's one bank called the Standard Bank of South Africa that started a trust fund to provide investments and technical assistance and so on and so forth. So what their money is doing is it's helping out the community and the people out there, which is a great outside the box way of taking a simple requirement to do something good and really making wonderful things out of it. So there's a lot of examples out there. And again, if you put your thinking caps on, and if you look out there, there's evidence of really, really great things going on. I mean, the information that you just gave us as far as saving power is something that I was a little bit aware of, but not the ramifications that you were talking about.
Yeah, making these small changes have such effect. And sometimes it's also as simple as changing how you get something. Apple announced a new program that they're doing with their suppliers. Now, Apple buys a lot of raw minerals to manufacture lithium-ion batteries for their phones and tablets and their laptops, all of the materials that go into these items. Well, they cut off one of their suppliers, and they made the announcement that they are now buying directly from the mines themselves. This way, they have a say over the safety conditions that the miners are exposed to and how well the miners are treated. So by switching from a middleman to going direct, they're saving money. Okay, that's a big corporate benefit for them, is their costs are going to drop. Then they work with this company to make sure everything is ethically mined. They're not using slave labor. They're not using child labor, which has actually been a major problem in recent years with these mines. So by saving themselves money and getting involved in that end of their supply chain, they've changed the lives of the people who are working at those mines. It's better for the world and it's better for them.
Yeah, there's another book out there called, it's a Doing Good Business Model. And what this talks about is 13 fundamental human values for the benefit of society, economy, and ecology. And it talks about how you handle your employees and trace and so on and so forth. And there's a great diagram out there that kind of shows you how the whole thing works. I know we're running out of time, but if you go to thedoinggoodmodel.com, you can get a copy of the book. You can take a look at the diagram and so on and so forth. But it's all about encouraging personal responsibility, working together with the partners that you have, getting creative and helping and giving back to your employees and to the community with what you're doing. So it's just a model and, you know, having that in the workplace going for you.
And that's a key point, is that these programs really do have to be built into your business model. Not too long ago, some groups and some state and local governments got together to try to push companies to do good by creating what they called a B corporation. Now, most business people are familiar with C corporations and S corporations, which are simply, you know, legal entities of how to form your business. Well, these states decided to recognize something called a B corporation, which stood for benefit corporation. And of course, as most government programs go, it fell flat on its face, because when businesses took a look at it, they didn't get anything out of it that they wouldn't have already gotten from being a C corporation, but they were required to fill out a lot more paperwork and prove that they were doing good to the government. Well, all that did was add extra overhead. So most companies went, we can do all of this on our own. We don't need the government, you know, sticking their nose in it.
Yeah, not to mention it's adding more paper to the landfill too.
Right. So when you create these programs, they can't just be tossed on top. They've really got to be integrated into your business model for you to get the benefits and for society to see the benefits. So we're just about at the end of our time. So Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway for our listeners this week?
I think it's a personal awareness that goes through yourself and through the company. This diagram that I'm looking at talks about being, believing, and doing, and traits such as we are all one, added value for humanity, and so on and so forth. It's really on all of us. And it starts obviously with the leadership of the companies, but it's really in every individual. And we've talked about a lot of great ideas that individuals came up with today. So just keep that foremost in your mind, and you're doing good. It's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway is that when your company does good, your company does well. The benefits of these programs benefit society, benefit your community, benefit your employees, and benefit your company. So it really is win-win. So move forward with it and figure out what you can change to make your business and your community better. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, and wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.